We're going to do what the Scripture calls us to do, a little bit different today. And Scripture calls us in Hebrews to consider one another in love, consider one another in good works, to encourage and exhort one another. And we're going to do that here. We could do this for 17 hours and with sharing, but we're going to let the Holy Spirit guide us and open a time up for that, and ask the Lord to just speak amongst us as we encourage Denise, as we encourage the family, and more at each other, and more than just that, encourage one another, encourage the body, encourage the body. One of the things that we, as elders, meet at Fred and Denise's, the upper room, as we call it. And in the spring, summer, and fall, we come down from the stairs, and it seems that the Denise and the girls always have the Dodger game on, and I'll always come down and go, what is this trash on the TV? What is this? And I will echo what Jeff said. We'll get a group, and we'll go down, and this Giants fan will also wear a Dodger jersey, Denise. I will do it, and we'll all do it. And I kind of struggled this week for just words. The thing that has struck me is that, and as elders and as in the past couple weeks, I've met with a couple guys, Alan and Matt and Jeff, and we've looked at 1 Corinthians 12 and what that means for a church body, the body of Christ. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, because I can't think of anything more appropriate to honor Fred and to honor his faithfulness to Christ's body, him being the hands and the feet of Christ to so many in need. And what strikes me is that when you read 1 Corinthians 12, so many things jump out at you, that it's not just Fred, it's Fred and Denise, that it's not just Fred and Denise, it's Fred and Denise and us as a body that minister to people, because we are one. We are one in the body of Christ. And in this book that we've been looking at, Brethren Hang Loose by Bob Girard, which is really a founding book of really neighborhood church and even us as Cottonwood community, there's a quote in there that just says, every member is needed. We are all needed in the body of Christ. When we come to salvation, the Holy Spirit gives each of us a gift and gives each of us the empowerment to exercise a gift and a ministry. And Bob Girard writes, there's this important point of Scripture that every member is needed. There is, when come to you think of it, no way of comparing them. The function of the human body is different, and each is equally needed. Each body is different. The foot is no more important than the hand. And yet, many of us minimize God's gift because we say, well, that's not, I'm not a special member, or I can't do that. And what I will tell you is the faithfulness of Fred and the faithfulness of his ministry is a testament to him living out Christ's command that he is to use his gifts and to use his gifts for the glory of Christ. And I just want to read, and it just took on new meaning for me this week. If you have your Bibles, I'm just going to read, make a couple comments on 1 Corinthians 12, and then we're going to open it up for a time of sharing. But if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 12. Starting in verse 4, there are talking about the church. This is us. This is the body of Christ. Verse 4, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the same Spirit. But in fact, the body is not one member, but many. This is what, and this struck me this week. This struck me, these verses here. Because we are all different. Some of us are feet, some of us are hands, some of us are eyes. We're all part of the body of Christ. But verse 15 says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? All different, all gifted differently with a gift. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, and nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there may be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Man, that just spoke to me this week. It spoke to me because I read, and we've been going through this idea about the body of Christ being a living organism. It's a living body. And you kind of try to wrap your mind around that. And you say, how is it really a living body? Well, we've experienced that. And Denise and the kids have experienced that this week. A living body that ministers and supports one another. Caleb, I want to use the example. Come up here, brother, real quick. I thought of this example. I'm going to use him to stand here. That first, the stand on the other side. I have two hymnals up here, and there's a chasm that we cannot cross. And this, Caleb is going to represent the needs that are out there, not only in the body, but out there in the community. And it might be a hurting marriage. It might be the guys up there in the Anderson jail that Fred ministered to. It might be the kids that lost the family member that Fred ministered to. So many ministries that Fred ministered to. And this is the body on the other side. If the body was all selfish and we all tried to reach across, I can't with both of my hands get to that need. I can't get there from here. If this foot wants to be selfish, it can't get there. If this hand wants to get to that need, it can't get there. But what happens when the body works together and there is a support and there is a balance? And I can lean and I can hand the need. Go ahead, Caleb, you can keep that $10 bill right there. But what is this? Here, selfishly, each of these members can't get there. But what is this hand and this foot doing to allow this hand to give? It's providing balance. It's providing support. The leg, the foot, and it's working together. And so this body is ministering to, so not just Fred and Denise, but that marriage mentor couple in hurting. It's you. It's that you as a body that's ministered. It's to those guys up in the jail that have needed that prayer and the gospel shared with them. We as a body, many of you have been the balancing and the support and the leg that allows that hand, which is Fred, to minister. And I just think, thank you. Give him a big round of applause. That scripture just spoke to me that we, you know, each member, whether a hand, we're a foot, whether we're whatever, the body works together. And when one hand, how many times have you smashed your finger, Billy? What happens when you smash that thumb with your hammer? The whole body it just encompasses the pain. It hurts. The whole body hurts. It surrounds that thumb, and you just, and that's what it feels like. And that's what the body of Christ does. It comes around and surrounds those who are hurting. And I just challenge us as a body that Fred was the hands and feet in many areas of giving. But it was Fred and Denise. It was us as a body. And now there we have to fill that gap. There needs to be more of those hands that are reaching out. Because he left such a hole. But it's by God's design. He is going to put someone else there. Our body will balance and continue to give where it needs to give. And we will support where we need to support. But we are called by Christ to fulfill our giftedness and our ministry. And I pray that through Fred's passing, through Fred's faithfulness, that we will do that even more. Sorry. Denise, I can't look at you. I keep looking over here. And I look over here. And then I look over here. Kurt, we're going to take some time. I know for the sake of other folks and each other and encouraging one another, we would ask you to, if you have a word, if you have a scripture, if you have a word of encouragement, we're gonna do that now, and we just ask you to be as brief as possible so we can get as many people in as sharing as possible and be sensitive to that. And Chris and I will, when it gets dark, we'll shut it off. Did you want to start, Chris?
Many of you know that Ed Peterson was my mentor, and he was my boss at the college. And he and I were involved in all the churches in Reading. I met Fred's father before I met Fred. He was in music ministry at a little country church, if I remember right. And then he was out at Crystal Creek, which Ed and I used to go speak at. And one day, he and I were elders up at the church on the hill for many years. And he comes to me and he says, we need to split up these young men and mentor them into leadership. And here's your list. He never asked me. He just gave me this list. Well, Fred was on that list. And it was not hard for me to do that because we were already in a Bible study. Once a week on a morning, we met at a cafe with Sean Pike and some other guys. And so, you know, that's how I was involved with Fred and his father as well. So he's a real blessing. He was one of the easiest guys to mentor. I didn't have to do anything because he just brought scripture and talked about it and was really mature in the Lord. So we just really appreciate Fred and how he decided to go into leadership with you guys. And you guys brought him in. That's outstanding. So I really thank all of you for that.
Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40 are some of the verses that our church builds our church on. And it says this. I'm sorry, 36. I'll start with 36. And this is a Pharisee trying to trip up Jesus. And he says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. That was Fred. Of anybody I've known, there's two men that have exemplified those passages. On August 14th, as Nick has just said, August 14th, 1997, God took my father-in-law home suddenly. That caused a huge hole in my life. On March 8th, 2022, oh my goodness gracious, here we go. 2022, another hole, huge hole in my life. One of my best friends, Fred, was taken home. Why? Why, I ask. Why is this hole? Why, Lord? Why do you do that? This last week, I've answered that question over and over and over with many, many people. And I've seen that. I've seen that happen. I've asked that question when my father-in-law was taken, too. And I've seen what the Lord has done through that. Now, in answering that, I don't like the answer. It isn't comfortable. But I know it's right. I know it's good. I know I have a Father in heaven. I know God has a plan that's much bigger than anything I have. And that is to cause people like me to step out and take those places. Because many of us, we lean on people like Fred, like my father, and like Ed. I know in BSF, there's a number of guys in this room right now that have enjoyed this last year. And what an incredible group of guys that has. Anyways, it's been an awesome thing this last year. And we've leaned on each other. We've leaned on Fred and done that. This church body through Ed, when the Lord took Ed, the Lord filled that hole, that huge hole that was left with people in this church body. This church was built out of that. The Lord's done mighty, mighty things through that. I know. I've gotten a witness in this last week how the Lord is filling. Denise is smiling. Right on, Denise. You're helping me out. Thank you. Okay, I can look at you. Thank you. The Lord is working. As much as we don't like it, it's painful. I cry like every 30 minutes, man. I think I have PMS. I don't know what it is. But I didn't know it was possible. Allergies, I don't know. But I messed up, I'll tell you that. But I start to understand. The Lord starts to let me understand what he's doing. He's building things through your lives because he's building it not for this world. This world is like that. Nothing compared to what we're going to in eternity. And he's building us. He's working with us. And it's been incredible this last week to see how he's using you and he's building you and he's working through you for his kingdom. And I know that's going to continue. I know that's going to continue in our church body. I know that's going to continue through you in Denise's life and the kids' lives. And that's an awesome thing. It's not a comfortable thing. We don't like it. It's painful. It's very painful. But I know. I understand. I see it. I've seen it happen through my father-in-law. Many of you can pick dates when Nancy Boyd passed away, when many different people. You can look back at those times, and you can see that the Lord has worked. The Lord's worked through those times. Anyways, that's my taking enough time. Anybody else have something to share?
I've talked to several different people, and as a woman, we all just have this, like, there's older men who are creepy, and so sometimes we're like, okay, don't hug me. We, like, kind of do, like, the stiff arm. We're like, oh, hey, nice to see you. But we've all said that Fred was just able to hug and love everybody, and it was so genuine, and we just knew that he loved us. He was like an uncle or dad, and I just knew every time I saw him, he was just going to give me a big hug and tell me that he loved me, and I knew that it was true, and I was a snot for a couple of years. I was not walking with the Lord. And I remember I saw Fred, and he just hugged me like he always did. And he loved me. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm not super nice. And I've done some things that the Lord's had to forgive me of. And he still loved me and he still let me love his girls. And he was like, yeah, you can go if Aaron's there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you have no idea what a snot I am. But he knew.
This was Fred right here. How many of you got one of these from Fred? One arm hug. There you go.
The best. So he loves me. I know that he loved me and he forgave me like the Lord did. He just loved and forgave the way that God did. He embodied that perfectly, and I am going to miss that. And I'm grateful for your family and for loving me and welcoming me into your family. God is good, and I know we're going to see Fred again.
I have known Mr. Lucero for farther back than I can remember, and he was a big Dodger fan, and I'm a big Giants fan, so we would give each other a hard time about the latest Giant loss or Giant win, and I'm just really going to miss that about him.
Fred and I, of course, went to the same church, but we were also neighbors. And pretty much every time I saw Fred, it depended on who could get the words out first. Go Dodgers or go Rockies. So I'm going to say go to Dodgers. But I do want to share with you some scripture that is pretty important to me. I think probably important to most of you here, but if you've not heard it yet, it's impactful, and I'd like to quote it. It's Romans 8, 38, 39. And the first part is so important. It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I know that Fred's family feels that. I think this body feels it. But let us never forget, nothing can separate us from the love of God.
You know, he created a gap when he took Fred away from us. And the question that came to my mind was, what do I do to help fill in that gap? What can I do? And the Lord hasn't answered that question yet, but it's a real serious one.
So everybody knew Fred was a Dodger fan. I remember BSF this last year, the Dodgers and the Giants were just getting ready to play. And so I text Fred real quick and I said, hey, I'm having a struggle on my Bible study. Can you help me? There's a long pause. I could see he read my message, but there's a long pause. And he comes back. He's like, what's your question? And I'm like, oh, I'm just having a hard time. You know, can we get together right now and meet? Another long pause, and then I sent him a text laughing at him, and I go, I'm watching the game too, and that's just how it was. And this last, the Monday before Fred's passing, we had a, we're in Matthew's 19. And I was having a hard time with, where it says, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. And I was struggling with that, and we discussed it in our group. And then Fred's prayer at the end was talking about, you know, this week just watch over all of us. And he just warned us that Satan's going to try to work in us to break us up when we're in a good mindset. And afterwards, you know, me and Billy talked about on our drive back, and it's like, you know, Fred answered my question, and that's just how he always did. He just always had the right answers for you, and he's going to be missed.
For Mark's sake, I will try to keep this brief. I thought the best question this morning was Mike Lawrence's question to me. He said, are you opening this morning? And I think you guys understand why he asked me that. Oh my gosh, waterworks are going to happen. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of concerned about coming to church this morning. And Denise, I will look at you. I thought to myself, and I said to Tiffany, I said, you know, I think I'll be okay if they're not there. Because it might make it easier on us. But how thankful I am that you guys are here. And that just, again, with what Mark said this morning, just shows the strength and encouragement of what the body will do. Is you guys need it as much as we do, and we need it from you as much as you do from us. As soon as I found out that Fred passed away, I didn't cry. I didn't cry because I felt numb because of the void that we all feel. It was kind of like one of those, no way. No way, really? Fred, of all people? Why would you take Fred? He was in great shape. He led all of our Bible studies. I mean, what? Why? And I got a wonderful word this morning when I was looking at some Christian videos that I was watching this morning. And again, I knew it was going to be hard this morning. I just knew it. And the song that came up was called 4 Days Late. 4 Days Late. And if you guys remember the story, somebody brought it up this morning, I don't even know who it was, but the story of Lazarus, right? And Mary and Martha see Jesus coming 4 days late. Jesus, if you had only come 4 days ago, you guys would have been able to help my brother. He died. You're the miracle worker. You could have saved him 4 days ago. But no, you're 4 days late. And this is not to say that he's going to bring Fred back to life. I don't think he is. God's got a plan for each and every one of us. The Bible says our days are numbered. And the thought that came to my mind was, Fred, unfortunately for us, and only for us, Fred's number was up. We're the only ones suffering because of that number being up. Jesus has got himself a hero amongst him now. And he wasn't 4 days late, if you guys remember the story. Jesus showed up right on time. And that 4 days late became the glorious rising of Lazarus so people could see what Jesus really was. We don't need that anymore. The Word tells us who he is and what he can do for our lives. And Fred was a huge testimony for us on what Jesus does to a man who completely gives himself over to his Savior. Each one of you, if you guys were to come up here, would say something about Fred and how he's touched you. Our biggest thing for us men was he was the leader of our men's group. He was our rock and pillar of that group. He was a rock and pillar in this church. And I am so thankful that he was a Rams fan because I would not have worn a 49ers jersey to that funeral. So thank you, Lord, that he was a Rams fan. I will scrounge up some Dodgers stuff wherever I can find it, Denise. Walmart, well, they have it. Again, folks, I think Fred would tell you guys all the same thing this morning. do not cry for me. But it's hard not to cry for the void that we feel. I just thank God that we were able, each and every one of us was able to be a little part of Fred's life.
But the thing about that is now you're going to be a big part of somebody else's life, aren't you?
Thank God I knew Fred, because Fred was meeting me, and I had the privilege of having his two girls in the Wanas, and what amazing to see how Cardi and Jesse grow up in Wanas, but Fred was an amazing man. And every time I get to play in the piano in front of Fred, he will always say, "Hey, nice job," and I really gonna miss him. But like I tell you right now, he's in a better place, and he'll be missed. But he right now is fellowshipping with RJ and Nadine Peterson.
I'm like Alan, I might cry a little bit. But that guy, it's been like two, almost 3 years. I was in jail. I was headed down the wrong path. And I was really disgusted with myself. And I knew everyone was ashamed of me. And I just couldn't come out of there. Fred showed up at Shasta County Jail. I looked in the glass and I said, "Fred, what are you doing?" And he goes, "I just wanted to come see you and see how you're doing." And I said, "I'm all right for being in jail." And he goes, "You've been reading your Bible?" And I, every day. And ever since then, I've met with Fred and talked to him and called him. He was the middleman between me and the Lord for quite some time. And he always told me that I need to better that relationship. And now he's gone and I have to. And I want to thank him and just say, "Fred, everything you've ever taught me, I'm going to take it with me, and I'm not going to go backwards, man. I mean, I'm going to do everything that you showed me, and I just appreciate you guys so much and everything that you've done for me and my family."
He's proud of you, and we are too, Tyler.
Fred was my father-in-law as of October, and I didn't have much time with him, but we shared a lot of the same likings for candy and weird gadgets, and Fred welcomed me into the family. I felt like I had a place because of him. I am so grateful to him and Denise for raising such a wonderful man and incredible daughters. And I am extremely bummed that I didn't get more time with him, but I'm very grateful for the time I did have. That man was the most encouraging, even though we may not have agreed on everything. He knew how to support and encourage, and just miss him. And I'm just thankful for the time that I did have with him. I'm going to miss him sharing his Airheads with me. That was very kind of him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's been a privilege this last week to get to, because Jake, we haven't seen you for quite a while or whatever, you've been gone. And Aunt Sarah and I have both said how much you remind us of your dad. And so you want to get to know Fred more. Keep looking at Jake and the Lord. You're a lot like your dad, Jake.
Jacob got in trouble in class one afternoon.
Like I said, he's a lot like his dad.
I wanted him to copy the rules as punishment, but Jacob wanted to negotiate. Can I please just clean some test tubes or sweep the floor or something like that? I made him wear a sign that said, "I love the Giants." And I took a picture of him and sent it to Fred. That evening, Fred sent me a picture back of Jacob with this, like, broomstick over his shoulder and a bag of things on the end of the broomstick, like he was kicking him out of the house. My daughter sent me this when she heard about Fred. Just because you can't see the why or the way doesn't mean that there isn't one. There's always a way exactly where you don't see a way at all. And Jesus said, "I am the way." I don't think there's another man that deserves a big old hug from Jesus or to hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
I'm sorry for your family, and I don't know me, but I'm kind of new, kind of semi-new here. But what I want to talk about living and dying, because it's, we all know it's a circle of life and how it's hard. It's sometimes it takes longer when you have a long illness and you're dealing with that. And this is just as hard as something that is instantly. But that's what they did to my mom on her poem. I can't say the whole thing. I'm going to part of it. It said, when I was born, everyone was laughing, and I was crying. You know, we beg the baby, and you're crying, right, to get him to go in. Okay, when you die, we're all crying, and up in heaven, I'm smiling. Because we know we have the love and the peace and the happiness. We have to remember that. He loves us, and he's in peace and happy with that God has for us. Just remember that.
I always knew that Fred was cool, but I didn't know how cool he was until I saw his epic junior high picture on Facebook, man. Where he had like shoulder length hair, and it was awesome. But I think the big takeaway for me was how busy Fred was at work for the Lord. I don't know how he had time to work, you know. And a lot of us get busy. I get busy, and then when you step back, a lot of that stuff's really not important to the kingdom. And Fred was intentional about it. So, you know, if we're gonna be busy, let's be busy doing the right things.
Fred was my youth leader when I was in high school. He's a good guy, so I've known him over half my life now. And I'm sorry, I'm not coherent at the best of times, and when I'm sad and off the cuff, it's going to be rough, so just try and follow. 20-something years that I've known of Fred and been in this community, I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about Fred, ever, right? And it's not just me saying that. That's a true thing. I was running his life through my head this last week, and And as long as I've known him, no one has said anything bad about Fred. And I was thinking, that can't be said about me, right? That can't be said about a lot of people. There's very few people I know that nobody, through the community, through my work days, through work, through the church, through anything, I've never heard a sideways word about Fred. And the common denominator is Fred, right? And I just think, more than anybody, Fred embodies that Romans 12 when it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. You know, Fred was quick to forgive. Fred wouldn't hold it against you. And because of that, sorry, I shake when I get sad. everyone liked Fred, and he could talk to anybody. And I would tell you, use this time right now to go and make peace with whoever you have in your life. Go and be quick to forgive. Heap honor on other people, just like Fred did. And I think you'll see a great turn in your life for that. And I think Fred, if we're going to use his passing for anything, would be happy if we could become more unified as a body by doing stuff like that.
I know Fred and Denise, for when I was 15, I met them because Denise and I worked up at camp, and Fred and her were dating, and he would come up and visit her all the time. And I have something to confess. I honestly thought that I was one of Fred's favorites because he always encouraged me. He gave me hugs. I've gotten letters of encouragement. We shared the same love for the baseball team. And so I just honestly thought I was. And I just was thinking that a lot of us probably can identify with that. You know, a lot of us, I mean, I think most of us here thought that we were Fred's favorites because of how much he invested in us and how much he loved us. And Fred just loved well. And but I was thinking about that, and I thought, yes, he loved well, but it came from his love with Jesus. And that's how he loved well. And I just wanted to encourage us all that if you know Jesus already, dig deeper into God's word. We, you know, everything's so crazy right now in the world, and just dig deeper and get to know him better. If you have fallen away from him, dive in. This it's truth. That just what Fred has exemplified to all of us, it's because of his relationship with Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, talk to us. There's so many people here that would love to show you how to live for Jesus and to have that hope and reassurance that we have today, even though we're missing Fred desperately, that we know he's in heaven. And that is encouraging in the sorrow that we're missing him.
I have a couple recent memories of Fred that I want to let you guys know about. Well, the night before Fred passed away, he was at my parents' house, and they were doing a Bible study with you guys. And my dad brought up his physical therapist and to pray for him and his salvation. And Fred prayed for him, and he's talking with my dad about him. And next day, Fred went home to be with the Lord, and my dad, you know, it just hits you hard like everyone here, and you know, you gets to tell his physical therapist, not only, hey, I'm praying for you, but this guy who doesn't even know you cares for your soul, you know, that, hey, we're praying for you here, and you know, Fred cared about sinners and the lost. That's why he's writing these letters to people. That's why he's going to all these people that are hurting. He knows that they need Christ. And so the other thing was, on the fundraiser for my dad spoke and he gave the gospel. And then Fred followed up, and he just wanted to reiterate it and he's about to pray for the food, and he goes, you know, there's no guarantee that any of us here right now are going to outlive Don. And so he wanted the sinners and the lost to know Jesus Christ and what he did for them. And so Jesus Christ was his high priest, and that's who he looked to. And just think of Romans 5. It's those declared righteous are reconciled. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person. Though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his love. But God proves his own love for us, that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by the blood, we have been saved through him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. So I just rejoice that Fred has peace with God through Christ.
Different when you get up in front of everybody and have to talk. I love you guys. I had the honor of serving on the school board with Fred for 12 or 15 years, something like that. And one word that I think of with Fred was above reproach. Fred lived his life in a manner that was honoring God in every aspect of his life. And it's just an honor to know him, and I feel like we're better people because of him. And I think the one thing I'm most thankful for Fred was, and I guess like what Tyler said, he stood in the gap. I think Fred was a gapper. And for our family, he stood in the gap for Maddie when she was having a hard time finding her way. And he loved her unconditionally. He loved her with Christ's love. You know, he loved her, and she knew it. She could feel it. He just, every time he was around her, he would encourage her and ask her how she's doing. And I'm just most thankful for that, for Fred, and what he did for Maddie and our family in that regard. Thanks.
Kind of interesting with guys with the Monday night Bible study that we've talked about. We were standing around this morning saying, what would Fred want us to do? And that would be a kick in the pants and say, keep it going. Don't drop the ball. And I was just sitting there thinking, the pastor who had the most influence in my life, junior high school years, his favorite phrase for me always was, the ability that God can best use is availability. And I think that that's what we're called to do, be available to step up. And I know that that's what I've been challenged with this week. Am I really stepping up to everything I should be? So, availability.
I'm all fouled up like everybody else. So, but I wanted to read this scripture. God gave it to me as I was in my truck. And I'm just going to read it to you guys. It's 1 Peter 1, starts in 3, is what we're going to read through 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I just want to read that.
Well, we didn't provide lunch today, so we better get towards the end. I just want to kind of reiterate a couple of things that were said. First of all, I need to tell you that it, as good as Fred sounds, and I was one of his good friends, and I know Denise could probably back this up. Fred wasn't perfect; he did have faults. And he was a sinner, and we're all sinners, and we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And that's what Fred lived his life for, is to let people know that we need a Savior. And my hope and prayer is that you have made that decision to follow Christ as your personal Savior. And if you haven't, as Kim said, you know, my hope is that you would talk to one of us about that, because that was the difference in Fred. You know, if Fred didn't have Christ, he would be a lot different person. Trust me, he'd be a lot different person. That's one thing. The second thing I want to tell you is this, that as painful as this is, and it stinks, and I've struggled with this, is I know God's in control. I want to let you know something that happened yesterday as we were planning his memorial service for next week. Billy and I, we were talking about BSF. That's something that's been on my heart. I know it's been on Billy's heart. It's been an incredible group of guys. And it's like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, here Fred has brought this together. This is happening. This has been an incredible thing through this COVID time, the last couple of years. And just what an incredible thing that's been happening. And so I said to Billy, you know, this has got to keep going. And Billy said, yeah, no, I think the same thing. And Billy said he's going to continue it. I told him I'll help you in any way I can. And one of the guys that came to heart was Fred, when we were going up to actually Stephen Cindy's last week. Fred shared with me that Brian, and I know Brian would let me share this, that the Lord's gotten a hold of Brian in his life over the last couple of weeks, which is a relative of Fred's, and just kind of gotten a hold of him. And so Brian, the last couple of weeks, has shared with this group of guys about how the Lord's gotten a hold of him. You know, he hasn't kind of fallen away, and now he's back in there and stuff. And so Billy and I were saying, man, we need to be sure to get Brian in this what do you call the chain thing or whatever, and when you're texting people and stuff. And Billy said, well, what's his number and all that stuff? I want to be sure that I get him in there. I go to look at my phone, and guess who had just texted me? Brian just texted, hey, listen, I was real concerned about being a BSF. I want to be sure that keeps going. Do I need to do it? What do we need to do to keep going? God is in control. Okay, that wasn't me. That wasn't Billy. You know, it was on our hearts, but Brian was already thinking about that. And then Billy and I said, well, you know, what do we do or whatever? And we both agreed that we should just, maybe they should talk about just do some sharing time or whatever. And guess what? Mr. Upbeck, he comes to the door, and he wasn't part of the sharing, just came. I don't know, they're going to do something at Denise's or whatever meeting. And Ron comes to the door, and first thing out of his mouth, well, we need to be doing the BSF. And even though maybe we don't do the study, maybe we should just do sharing. Well, that's what Billy and I just said. All right, Lord, what in the world? You know, so if you don't think God's in control of this whole thing, there you go. Anyways, that's it.